Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I'm doing good. I have another good story.
We've got a lot of good stories. We're going to start. Got some good news.
The resistance is building.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about a church in L.A., of all places.
Yeah.
L.A. must still have some good people out there.
Yeah.
Big church, mega church. And they showed up without masks on, and they did not social distance.
Yeah.
And they had been warned. Guess what? Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Nobody got arrested. And then that led me into a daydream or a postulation and said to you, Daniel, what if all the churches got together someday? Everybody in the community or some kind of say, we're all going to have a Freedom Sunday and announce it. And everybody does it. But, you know, and of course the problem with that is there's a lot of people still very, very scared in spite of the statistics that we'll give a few more of today. The statistics are showing that this is not much of a pandemic or epidemic even right now. And it's not strange. It's not anything as bad as what we've gone through before. Hopefully, people will become less scared. But it's a real tragedy I see when they're frightening kids. Kids are just really, really, even in our own family, some of the grandkids are getting a little worried because they don't understand it. And there'll be adults telling them two different things. And they watch television, and things will be such on television. But they had church, and they estimate between 6,000 and 7,000. That's a pretty good sized church. And best we can tell, the police didn't show up.
Yeah.
What? You can go to church without the police?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I mentioned this the other day is when it was discussed that the churches couldn't be open because they weren't essential, but Walmart was.
Yeah.
So they went to Walmart and had their church service.
That was great. I saw
that.
That's
it. So, but what is essential is liberty, making free choices, not hurting people. So if you have an infectious disease and you're dangerous to other people and you shouldn't go to nursing homes and you should follow some good common sense, when you listen to all this, all these rules and regulation, a lot of it, you know, people say, well, this is just common sense. It is a lot of common sense. But why in a free country shouldn't the people be allowed to practice their own common sense?
Yeah.
And do their best. But when people deliberately do things to hurt other people, that's a different story. But this is good. It's happened. It may encourage others. I think it is disappointing that this extremism, where people couldn't act normally, really hit the churches. And the churches, you know, are very intimidated. They don't want to look like they're lawbreakers and unpatriotic and all these things that they've gone along with it. But it's based on the fact that those who pretend to be scientists have misled the people, and the people are intimidated and think the world is coming to an end. But the advantage we have in the last several weeks now is we've been able to find the statistics and show what the numbers and the charts are doing. We'll do a little bit more of that today. Some people say, it's over. You know, so why don't we one of these days tell everybody, you know, it's over, folks.
Yeah.
The pandemic's over. There's no epidemic, and there's something going on there, but it's no worse than the flu, probably a lot less harmful than the flu. So relax and go back to normalcy. And I imagine if anybody at this church service, because somebody will be following them, they'll find out, somebody, you know, ended up with coronavirus. You'll hear about it.
Oh, yeah.
But even that proved nothing, you know, because if you were really in a pandemic and a serious problem, you'd have thousands of people. But right now, thousands of people are being eliminated. This pretend, monstrosity we have there. The number of deaths and the number of cases, all this, verify that the end of this serious problem is just about gone. And social distancing and mask, I don't believe for one minute, has helped us get through this.
Nothing to do with it. Well, you're right. Just declare it over. Reminds me of the John Lennon song, War is Over If You Want It, you know, and the pandemic is over if you want it. But this is, you know, by the way, that's a great idea for Freedom Sunday. I wish churches would do that. It's sad as we drive about an hour to our church on Sunday, and I still see so many churches, online services only, it's really tragic. But we're talking about Grace Community Church in Los Angeles. The pastor is John MacArthur, and I would say he is a hero for freedom because he's not going along with it. The rules say your maximum capacity is 100 people or 50% of what it will hold. Well, 100 was the max for him, and they had 6,000. And, of course, you read the write-up, we had something from The Hill, in the midst of this horrible pandemic, look at this monster and what he's doing. But I think Pastor MacArthur had the right idea. Here's a quote from him in the article. Quote, "We open the doors because that's what we are. We're a church, and we're going to trust people to make adult decisions about the reality of their physical and spiritual health and how that balance works for each one of them." And this is key. Nobody's forcing anything. They're here because they want to be here.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let's spread this message.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do our best.
Yes.
It's a good message, and people need to be more using their common sense and not the propaganda that they claim is common sense. That's where the problem is. But there's another one that's worth looking at. This is out of Florida. You know, West Coast to East Coast.
Yeah.
Florida sheriff orders deputies not to wear masks, bans of civilians in masks from coming in. No mask, no social distancing. And it doesn't look like anybody's going to arrest his sheriff. So this, again, people are getting tired of it. And I guess really people have to realize what's going on. That there's many, many thousands of people who are ducking the controls of this, but there are also many more that are just quietly doing their thing,
and they
think this is awful. And a lot of people are following the rules just because, why do I have to fight this thing? And I understand that feeling.
Definitely.
Why do we have to do this? So I think once it becomes popular, more popular than now, you're going to see a landslide in our direction and say, hey, this is over. They're right. The epidemic, it's over, and the numbers have been fudged, and now what we should be dealing with is, am I going to line up to take the vaccine? And that's another thing. That story's yet to be sold or explained. But that, unfortunately, the people who have been this frightened and fear and become fearful, they are wanting this vaccine, which I tell them right now. Be cautious. Don't be anxious. And one thing is, if they're mandating it, you know there's something wrong with it. If you know about it and you study it and you say, well, I'm going to take it voluntarily. But this stuff of them shoving it into our skins and our body, very dangerous.
You know, it is like the Berlin Wall. The first guy to take his chisel and chisel at it, nobody knew what was going to happen to him. Is this guy going to get shot? What's going to happen? Then a couple of other people. You remember the video 37 years ago.
Great.
A couple of other people. And then pretty soon, it was a complete avalanche. Hundreds, thousands of people on the wall doing it. And that's what happens. That's how tyranny falls. That's how this tyranny will fall. But we're talking about Marion County Sheriff Billy Woods. And we had him up there earlier. He said, you know what? No masks. I don't want my police officers wearing masks. Well, that's terrible for relations anyway with the community. I don't want people coming in here with masks on. Well, that seems to be a safety issue anyway besides common sense. But here's a great quote. Talk about common sense starting to prevail. Now I can already hear the whining. And just so you know, I did not make this decision easily, and I've waited out for the past 2 weeks. We can debate and argue all day of why and why not. The fact is, the amount of professionals that give the reason why we should, I can find the same exact amount of professionals that say we shouldn't wear the mask, that is. So that's
right.
He's finally recognizing what we've been talking ourselves blue in the face for months, that there are a lot of recognized experts who are scientists, who are making a very important and case against masks, against social distancing, against letting a virus be a virus, and they're being suppressed artificially by social media, by governments, by people, by television, and they're starting to be heard. And thankfully, this sheriff did hear them and say, you know what, they got guys saying this, guys saying that, here's what we're going to do.
Oh, that's for sure. You know, we went from the West Coast to the East Coast. Now we're going to jump across the pond. And this story is not quite as good. But maybe they're a little slower over there. This is UK.
Yeah.
And They had this music show or whatever they did.
Concert, yeah.
Concert.
Yeah.
And they were looking to get some people out, but they had to have arrangement. And they were more disciplined. They did whatever whether the state mandated, dictated. All right, we want to go. We want to go. Very few people could go, even though they had a large, large stadium. And I hope we have this picture because it's
really dramatic.
UK's first socially distanced concert hits sitting in metal boxes. We don't call them metal boxes. We call them cages.
Cages, yeah.
And that's what it's led to. To go, how many people, probably even listening to our modest audience, how many people in the country have heard of big musical gatherings? Sometimes there's 100,000 people.
And
you never heard of a complication coming from that. But to think that that is what we have to do, outdoors, make cages, and to listen to music, that part is sad. So I hope this message keeps spreading. And it needs to spread a lot more in the United States, too, maybe north and south, as well as east and west. But I think these are good signs, and we hope we can help spread this epidemic of freedom.
Well, this venue held 45,000 people normally. They held it down to 2,500, so basically 5% capacity. If they're in any remote way reliant on ticket sales to pay for the event, there's no way that you can survive only selling 5% of your capacity. We're in the conference business a little bit ourselves, Dr. Paul, and we know that you cannot get in the black. You're in the red if you're in that level. But what they're desperate to psychologically manipulate people into thinking that something that's absolutely abnormal, sitting in a cage like a monkey, is normal. That's what they want. The new normal, it's not the new normal. It's totally abnormal and insane.
And now, if our assumptions are correct, and I'm comfortable with them, that the danger has been way overblown, why are we canceling the baseball season? Why? And I love sports. I was never a very good, a person to attend. I didn't attend, but I liked it, and I think it's great for people. Some people get the biggest kick out of it, and some people don't even like politics in sports, and that's why they've been turned off with some of the football demonstrations. But and this is a mess, and even the colleges are closing down their football. Totally unnecessary. So I don't know when this will change, but let's hope somebody wakes them up. But see, the universities especially and the professional corporations are sort of locked into government more than they should be. So, when they send out the marching orders, they say, well, we better not do this. Maybe they get some support and subsidies and this kind of thing, and they have to go along with it. And if not, they'd be declared unpatriotic. And that would be very bad, if they were seen as unpatriotic. Now, if you do exactly what the government says, you're a patriot. And I was always taught that a good patriot is an individual willing and capable of criticizing the government when the government is wrong. So definitions of patriotism is something we ought to consider.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, unfortunately, we have to go to kind of some negative territory because, as we've been talking about, people are losing their minds. They're going nuts. And you have one sad story that you saw this morning about someone losing their mind. Some young gal that's trying to earn some money for college. Is that?
Yes. And I think she was working at Chili's.
Chili's, yeah.
And probably making, the minimum wage and all. And she hadn't been there long, but she wanted to save some money to further her education. And she wasn't into the arguments, the politics of all this.
Yeah.
She took it, and they said, these are the rules, and this is what you do. And she was supposed to be the policeman for this restaurant. Yeah. So when she went to one table to ask some people to move, and in a way, this is a mixed story because they were the ones who disagreed with social distancing.
Yeah.
But we disagree with the violence. They were resisting and took it out on the girl, and she ended up at the hospital with stitches on her face and over her eye. But it's a demonstration on how crazy people get.
Yeah.
Why beat up a 17-year-old girl who's trying to go to call and, you know, get enough money to go to school.
Yeah.
But it's people lose their minds over this, and it's so prevalent. I could never believe that the mob psychology could get so bad so quickly and give up, you know, their traditional beliefs like church.
Yeah.
But we see the opening doors now. Maybe we're seeing the change. But how many more cases will have to happen about people being put in the middle of this? And how many have already suffered? Her story got in the paper, but I'll bet there's a lot of this going on. And otherwise, the next thing is, if you do fight it, these small companies go out of business.
Yeah.
And then these young people who are trying to work for themselves and take care of themselves and get their education, they won't even lose. They'll lose their little job and say, "Oh, I'll go on unemployment."
Yeah.
You know, as if that's going to be the solution. So we have a long way to go, but I think that the people are open, and they'll become more open to these ideas when they realize the total failure, not of the lockdown, but the total failure of welfareism and warfareism, inflationism. This is going to be a wake-up time, like you describe it so well about the Berlin Wall.
Yeah.
And because that was one of my, I think it was the most important event, that whole conclusion of the Soviet system in the 20th century. So, yes, we need to get people awakened. I do believe that the spirit of liberty is still alive in this country, but also there's a lot of people, there has to be a lot of people, because there's been a lot of changes made, even in the electoral process. You know, even when it was so bad before, you didn't hear of a Marxist being literally elected to Congress. You know, it's a strange thing.
It is. Well, we want to move on to something. This is not a super easy thing to present, but there was a very good video that we both saw yesterday that really explained it. We can't show the whole thing. We'll put a link in the description. But basically this, and we always search for, you know, information backing what we say, of course, and this is that. And basically, this makes the argument that the virus is going to act like a virus. Virus gone a virus,
right,
is what it is. And it talks about how this coronavirus, the outbreak and the decline, is just like every other virus if you look at the numbers. But something different happened at the end. So let's just watch the first minute of this video. This is about epidemic versus case-demic. Let's just watch this for a minute.
I continue to get asked about the case-demic, so let me explain. Here we see many European countries, and they're all pretty much the same. Community immunity and the passing of the susceptible, like all viruses in history, has caused the death rate to come right down. Back here, there was an epidemic with high death rates, sadly, of susceptible people. And now there is no epidemic by any reasonable definition, because the death rates and ICU are right down. Here's Sweden. Intensive care loading, they only reached around 60% of capacity, and that was in the epidemic. But now there's no epidemic, and there's only 32 ICU beds in the whole of Sweden, 10.5 million people. And they had no lockdown, no masks, and they're kind of just completely back to normal here. But if you kept testing with PCR tests, as is happening all around Europe, you'd get a case-demic, and you could create a panic. So for PCR tests...
So what happened when the epidemic died out, which it did, and you see from those charts, and the same is true essentially in the U.S., the Europeans were before us, when the epidemic died out, they started massive testing for cases and found a case-demic. And those testing for cases, they tested asymptomatic people that had no problems, were testing positive, and those people who had recovered a month or so earlier and still had fragments of the virus in them, they were testing positive. And so that's what's driving the new lockdown in Europe, in Australia, and elsewhere.
But they were explicit in that the death rate is down and has stayed down. You know, when I was looking at that, I was thinking, what if the people who really, really disagree with us, which there are a few left, there's a few out there, maybe some are in D.C. at CDC and these different places, but how can they look at those charts and say, oh, they made those charts up? Well, prove it. Show them how they did. Show with statistically. They can't show us their statistics to prove their points on how dangerous this is. But to me, those charts are just fantastic, and they're so dramatic, and we're going to keep harping on this and get more converts to a little bit of sanity.
Well, those even are their charts. That's what they're using are their charts, and that's why. But, you know, here's something on the same line, and this is not Dr. Paul and Daniel McAdams talking. Let's look at this next clip. This is something that I came across yesterday. This is from the MIT Technology Review. MIT, that's a pretty good school, right? They're pretty good with technology and science. Yeah. Population immunity is slowing down the pandemic in parts of the U.S. The other way of saying that is virus gonna virus. It's acting like a virus. The first line, the large number of people already infected with the coronavirus in the U.S. has begun to act as a brake on the spread of the disease in hard-hit states, is what the first line says. This is what's happened always with viruses. And there are several quotes from people that are extremely they have very distinguished careers in the field. And here's a doctor. There's one of the doctors, Yongyang Gu. He said, immunity may play a significant part in the regions that are declining. Another doctor from the University of Washington said, I believe the substantial epidemics in Arizona, Florida, and Texas will leave enough immunity to assist in keeping COVID-19 controlled. What we've been saying all along.
You know, it's... reminds me always of 1976 when they had this horrible, horrible threat that the swine flu was going to destroy our country. And they hurried up a vaccine. It turned out the vaccine didn't work. And more a significant number of people got Guillain-Barré syndrome. Many of them died. Nobody died from the flu. But if you would take a chart and show the chart and not say it and put down, oh, this is when we gave the flu. This is when we gave the flu shot. And then, you know, the normal natural recourse was, you know, that it acted like a virus, had nothing to do with it. In this case, though, the history of 1976 is explicit that the vaccine was more dangerous, that it acted like a flu, it disappeared, and not a lot of people, more people died from the shot than they did from the swine flu. And I say that over and over again because I want people to be cautious, because I want people to make up their own minds, and it's a job because it's scientific and it's political and, you know, all this sort of thing. It's money involved that people have more difficulty. But the history of what we're talking about now on how viruses work, along with the fact that there's a bad history for vaccines and more, I think our audience is well informed about Bill Gates and Fauci. I just want to encourage all those, our viewers, to help spread that message, because that's the big thing now. They're talking about billions of shots, and there's several different companies, and how are they going to do it? It's whoever gets, you know, and they all got subsidies from the government. Oh, boy.
It's unbelievable. Well, you know, while MIT was writing this article, and it really hardly even needed to be written because it's the obvious, well, guess what? CNN thinks it knows better than MIT, and so does the CDC. Let's look at this next clip, Dr. Paul. Even though MIT is telling us that herd immunity is helping us, here is CNN. The CDC issues a dire warning for the fall if coronavirus measures are not followed. It almost sounds like they're desperate, Dr. Paul. You know, please pay attention to us. You've got to keep doing what we say. And in fact, here's something that's disgusting. I know you're going to want to comment on this. This is Robert Redfield, who's the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Here's his quote in that same article. Listen to this. This is sick. For your country right now and for the war that we're in against COVID, I'm asking you to do four simple things. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, and be smart about crowds. I'm not asking some of America to do it. We all got to do it.
It's that play on patriotism. You're doing it for the country and the people, and you have to sacrifice. And yet, it's an illusion to do this. This is how they get people to go into war for patriotic reasons, wars that are not defensive wars at all. And they go in with this idea that we're doing it because we really believe in patriotism and the country, designed by the enemy who want to build more weapons, you know, and get us involved in every country in the world. So, yes, it's a play on the patriotism. They've done it a long time. They've done it more in foreign policy to gain support for military interference overseas, but now they're doing it for this war on the virus, and they use those military terms all the time. This is war. It's invisible, and we've made the analogy toward terrorism. You know, it's certain. If you're not for getting rid of terrorism, you really are anti-American. Yeah. Yeah, nobody can define terrorism, and it's a process. You know, all the shortcomings on that. But that someday maybe people will wake up and say, this is not a test on our patriotism. It's a test on our common sense. Yeah, he plays on the common sense in there. He says, well, this is just common sense. Well, let us practice our own common sense. That's good. But you don't need to tell me what is common sense, because your common sense, and I'm talking to the promoters
Redfield,
of this, your common sense says, I have to take a vaccine or I'll never be able to work in a place. And that involves doctors, too.
Yeah.
You know, the doctors, the hospitals are dependent on government money, and they will have rules and regulations. They will force doctors to take these shots as well, even if they disagree with them.
Yeah, it's the last refuge of a scoundrel, right?
Right.
Well, I'm going to do a couple of quick things about something that I keep following, which is faking the numbers, and then I'll close with the villain of the week, if that's okay, Dr.
Okay.
Paul. Let's do a couple of these charts really quick, because we're getting short on time, and there's not a lot of time to go into it. But this is something fascinating. I've been watching the Texas infection rate, and it's going up, 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 which is insane, because the hospitals are empty, the ICU units are empty. How is it possible? And this is what Abbott is using to justify continuing the state of emergency in Texas, is a surging infection rate. But what's happening, if you look at it, is they have taken a backlog of test results, and they've held them back. Over a million results they've held back. What that means is that the denominator number in the equation, looking for percentage, is extremely low. And so that makes the percentage look extremely high while they have this backlog they're sitting on. And that is making it look so bad. Texas is terrible. Texas, it's not terrible. And here's another one from Texas, too. And we talked about this before. This is legacy laundering. On 8/12, which is yesterday, they reported 324 new deaths in Texas. Oh, my gosh, a spike. It's terrible. Look when these deaths actually occurred. Most of them are more than 10 days old, going all the way back to March is when these people actually died. 324 people did not die yesterday from COVID or coronavirus. These are old deaths that they're laundering forward, and in some cases, Dr. Paul, reclassifying as COVID deaths so they can push that up. So they're cooking the books. And one last one from Arizona, which is also cooking the books. They're doing something called a death certificate matching process. They're looking back at old death certificates and figuring out if they can reclassify them coronavirus deaths. So of the 148 deaths Arizona reported yesterday, 96 of them are laundered from the past. So the actual death from that day is not the same. And this is a real big issue. And there are a lot of great people the Institute follows on Twitter. They're doing a lot of great work on this. It is serious. And speaking of Abbott, let's talk about the villain of the week. Because everyone says, oh, you talk about Texas too much. Well, we do live here and we do follow it. I was talking to our friend Jeff Deist this morning. We were talking about the conference that we're hoping to hold here later in the year. And he said, you know, I mean, Texas is supposed to be Texas. You know, it's not supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be more like South Dakota. And I said, tell me about it. But it's not. And then one of the reasons why it's not is because we got this guy running things, Abbott, Greg Abbott. Some things he's done are okay, but he's mishandled this in the worst possible way. And now he's mad because he shut down the bars last month. And you got to wonder, is this really about the virus, or does he just not like bars? Okay, if you don't like bars, don't go to them. But here's what he said. He said this yesterday. He's very angry. He said, the bars are staying closed because when patrons go to the bars, they don't follow the proper safety procedures. Quote, they are structured for people to come together, close together, without face masks, in situations where people frequently become, oh my gosh, intoxicated. And when they become intoxicated, they lose the discipline they need to maintain practices to prevent the spread of COVID. And of course, everything we've been saying the entire weeks and weeks and weeks is the spread of the virus among healthy people is how you get the herd immunity to defeat the virus. He's actually working at cross purposes with what he is claiming to be in favor of, which is to get rid of this darn disease. And what he's doing is making it impossible. Greg Abbott, once again, I think it's number two at least for him, villain of the week.
Boy, he better watch out.
He's in trouble.
You're not going to get a job with him, are you?
Probably not.
You know, the frustration I can sense in your voice, and we deal with it all the time, is when they're campaigning, they come across as, you know, not libertarians, but good conservatives. I'm going to balance the budget, cut the spending and all this. And then when they get in, they're all over the place. And how does that happen? How does that happen? I think it's because they don't come from a basic firm principle of what they believe in, the principle of liberty. They don't come from that viewpoint. And sometimes I can sense if you come across a progressive that has a principle of it and they follow it, you can respect them and they're consistent and they're predictable and people can trust what they say they're going to do. But the world is made up of utilitarians. They're made up of it's of pragmatism. And utilitarianism is actually a philosophy. That means that we can on this hand we can do this, on this hand we can do it. It depends on how much money I got here, and it depends on how much money. It reminds me of a story when I was just starting in Congress. You'd go down to vote, and they'd have a pad there, and they'd say, the vote is on this. And then they would always list the special interest groups, the companies on, they're for and against, and you were supposed to look at it. Well, oh yeah, he gave me money, he didn't give me money. That's the height of utilitarianism. Utilitarianism isn't very attractive, but the world's made up because even people with pretty darn firm beliefs, they say, yes, but under these conditions, and it does become more difficult, but I happen to think that the world is better off if you have true believers, even if they have a progressive streak in them, if you can trust them and they're telling the truth and they're upfront about it, rather than saying, and you know, Marxism especially is really, the person or how you find truth in those organizations is arbitrary. It's the government determines truth. So that kind of thing is very unfavorable to what we have. And that's why we suffer from this. This is why we think that we have to get a handle on this right now. Symbolically, it has to do with this lockdown and the people rolling over and doing this. This is why we emphasize the fact that we're not doing well if we just go along to get along and fit into these programs, because that means you've committed and you've been influenced and you're going to do exactly as the government tells you to do. But no, I like the old-fashioned definition of patriotism. People who will be willing to stand up and point to their government and criticize the government when they're wrong. And if you live in a free society, you should be encouraged to do that and get credit for it. We don't happen to have that set of circumstances today, but that's what we should aim for. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.